Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, the 6th chapter, page 1198 in your Scofield Bible. 6th chapter of Romans, we'll be reading the first 6 verses. The 4th verse is the text verse, and we have another text verse to read after that. Let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. We'll read the verses responsively. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Turn a page, please, to the 8th chapter, the 11th verse. We'll read just that verse, and we'll read it together. Ready? But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And this, what privilege is ours to be here tonight. We're thankful for the methodical working of this church, its order, and the wonderful way in which things are planned and work according to a schedule. And we thank you for the schedule of services that we have here regularly, in season, out of season, holiday time, non-holiday time, summertime, wintertime, it doesn't matter. This old church just keeps going on, and we thank you for that. We thank you for its consistency. We thank you for that which we feel every time we walk in the door. Surely thou art here, thou hast blessed in the past, and thou shalt bless us, no doubt, again. Open our hearts, our minds, help us to be careful to hear the word, and bless our preacher as he brings it. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight on the subject, real Christ-likeness. I would be surprised if you ever heard a sermon on the subject of on which I'm going to speak tonight. What is real Christ-likeness? I read for you again. One of our texts a while ago. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, get this, even so we also should walk in newness of life. As Christ was raised up, even so also we should walk in newness of life. Our Heavenly Father, I come now to the place where I've been so many times these 41 plus years, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, the place I love to be, the place where I'd rather preach than any place in the whole world. I pray you to help me tonight to be a blessing. That's all I ask. Just help me be a blessing to our people. Amen. I hope you listen carefully. I think you'll find some light in the scriptures. Turn me up just a bit if you can, please. And light in the scriptures that I think will be a surprise and a help to you. We Christians are so like the world. The political parties wrangle, fight, and split. Our churches wrangle, fight, and split. I have heard in the last few months of three churches where the two brothers were on the staff together. A pastor was, and then his brother was an assistant pastor. I've heard of three cases in the last few months where the brother rebelled against his own brother, took some families and went somewhere and started another church. We Christians are so like the world. The professional sports teams feud with umpires and referees. Our Christian schools and our little leagues feud with umpires and referees. The Christians are so like the world. The homes and the world watch whores and queers on television. The Christian people watch whores and queers on television. The Christians are so like the world. The Bibles cannot be read in our public schools, and the Bibles are not read in our Christian homes. Somebody asked me, are you worried about the Bible not being in the public schools? I said, yes, I'm more worried about the Bible not being read in the homes of our people. The Christians are so like the world. Public prayer is not offered in our secular schools. And in many of your homes, not even grace is said at the table. The Christians are so like the world. The nation impeaches a president. We churches impeach our pastors. The nation's homes are falling apart. As I said this morning, or implied, the church's homes likewise are falling apart. The Christians are so like the world. The worldly young people are rude to their teachers in their schools. And the church young people are rude to their teachers in their schools. Good manners are nearly extinct in the world. And good manners are nearly extinct in our churches. Bitterness prevails in political parties. That same bitterness is present on many deacon boards. I said our Christians are so like the world. In the world, enemies won't speak to each other, and we have folks in this room tonight who won't speak to each other. In the world, obedient children are hard to find. In our Christian homes, obedient children are hard to find. In the world, political candidates smear each other. In the church world, preachers and Christians smear each other. In the world, political parties splinter off. In the Christian world, splinter churches are prevalent. The world renders evil for evil, and the Christians render evil for evil. The world refuses to turn the other cheek, and the Christian world possesses the same lockjaw as the secular world possesses. There is little more harmony in the average church than in the average Masonic lodge. There's one difference. One difference. We have a choice. The world has no choice. You see, we have two natures. The world has one nature. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. Which means, as far as it wrong and right and wrong are concerned, it is more wrong for a Christian not to be Christian than for an unchristian not to be Christian in his manner, behavior, and in his spirit. Now, I was rather casually reading the Bible, and there it was, a truth I had never seen in my life. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Don't miss it now. Don't miss it. In the Scriptures, we're admonished to attempt to be like Jesus. We sing, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Oh, to be like thee, pure as thou art. Come in thy goodness. Come in thy sweetness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. We sing, to be like Jesus, to be like him. All I ask, to be like him. All through life's journey, through hill and valley, all I ask, to be like him. We sing, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wonderful love and purity. we seem more like the Master I would ever be. And that is certainly a challenge. Well, even now, we are to be like Jesus was during that 33 years. He walked the shores of Galilee and the sandy hills of Judea and the mountains of Galilee. Would it be as considerate as he was to Mary Magdalene? I'm sorry, to Mary of Bethany. Would it be as loving as he was to John? Would it be as tender as he was to the little children? Would it be as gracious as he was to the woman at Sychar's well? Would it be as forgiving as he was to the thief on the cross? Would it be as compassionate as he was to the multitudes? Would it be as teary as he was at Lazarus' tomb? Would it be as thoughtful as he was to his mother? Would it be as patient as he was to Peter? Would it be as proper as he was with Magdalene? Would it be as caring as he was at Bethesda? Would it be as yielding as he was in Gethsemane? I'm simply saying, we are to try our best to be like him. The Bible says, we're to forgive like him. The Bible says, we love like him. God has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men to his way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men that Christ died. He has no help but our help to lead men to his side. We're the only gospel this scattered world will read. We're the sinner's gospel. We're the scoffer's creed. We're the Lord's last message written in deed and word. What if the line is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other works than his? What if our feet are leading where sins of them is? What if our tongues are speaking of things that Christ would spurn? How can we hope to aid him and hasten his return? I'm saying it is or should be our goal to be like him. We are ambassadors for Christ. We beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now wait a minute. Listen carefully. That is not a worthy enough goal. It is not just to be like Jesus was when he was here on earth for 33 years. Is not enough. It is not all that we seek to emulate. Listen to my text again. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now listen carefully. My goal is not only to seek to be like him before Calvary, but according to this verse, I am to seek to be like him after the empty tomb. It says, even as he was raised from the dead, even so should we walk in newness of life. 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. Not as he was, but as he is. Not like he was 2,000 years ago. But we're not only to be like the Jesus of Nazareth, like the Jesus of Bethlehem, like the Jesus of Gethsemane, like the Jesus of Jerusalem. We're to be like the Jesus of the empty tomb. We are to have our goal to be not only like him before Calvary, but ladies and gentlemen, our goal is to be like the resurrected Savior. As he is, so are we in this world. Now the question is, how is this possible? Listen carefully now. My text. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Look at me. If you're a child of God, that Holy Spirit dwells in you. When you got saved, he came in to live. Alright, that applies to you then. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, get this now, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, God is not saying here, as I've said in previous sermons, that you'll be raised from the dead by the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. No. Romans chapter 7 precedes this verse. And Romans 7, you have a battle, the flesh and the spirit. Paul said, I can't do what I would do. I would do what I don't do. I don't do what I want to do. There's a constant battle going on. And then he says in chapter 8, after verse 7, chapter 7, he says that God, through his Holy Spirit, See, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that believe, for those who walk Christ Jesus as carefully. He said then, if you want to win the resurrection in Romans 8:11, it's not our resurrection from the dead. God is saying that the same Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in the Christian's mortal body, and you can be raised from your hot temper for the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. You can be raised from your living, as I said this morning, in hell at your home, and your home can change to heaven from hell by the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. You can quit your cigarettes by the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. You can quit your rock music by the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God is simply saying that that same mighty Holy Ghost that reached down and raised up His body from Joseph's borrowed tomb lives in you, and you can overcome that hot temper. You can overcome your bitterness. You can overcome your hatred. You can overcome your wrath. You can overcome your malice, and not only be like the Jesus who walked the shores of Galilee, but the Jesus who was raised from the dead. So what he's saying is, not only am I to have as my goal to be like him beside the will of Sychar, to be like him when he spoke to multitudes, to be like him when he wept at the river of Lazarus, but I am to have as my goal to be like the resurrected Christ. Let me talk tonight to those of you who are rugged, rough, and careless about the feelings of others. Let me talk tonight to you who are ready to say a bitter word without thinking how much pain it might give to somebody else. Let me talk to you tonight who prune yourself as being blunt and rude and brag on the fact, I just always say what I think. Let me have a word to you who are naturally quarrelsome and find it easy to fall out with others. Let me talk to you tonight whose tongue is so critical that you spend half of your time regretting what you said in the other half of your time. Let me talk tonight to those of you whose home and marriage is filled with selfishness, anger, and duty. Now you listen to me. It's time God's people got along with each other. It's time that the school teacher got along with the parents of the students. It's time the parents declared peace instead of war with those who are sacrificing so much to help your kids. And it's time you little children got along at home. It's time you boys and girls got along inside your house. It's time you got along with your teacher at school. It's time in church we got along with each other. I'm simply saying, God is saying here that we are to live like the resurrected Christ. Now, your pattern, your disposition, and behavior after the risen Christ. You may have the gentle spirit of the resurrected Christ. You can be a lady, and you can be a gentleman. Let's look at the resurrected Savior. See him stand in the midst of his disciples, who had a few hours before forsaken him and fled. With the atmosphere of a higher world wrapped around him, standing in the beauty of his love, and says to those who just a while ago had forsaken him, peace be unto you. Did you ever stop and think who these were? These were those with whom he had walked for 3 years. These are they for whom he had just gone to Gethsemane. These are they for whom he had just died. These are they whom he had given his life for. And in his darkest hour, they forsook him and fled. And yet Jesus comes to them in his resurrection body and says, peace be unto you. And God says, that's the way you treat those that have turned on you also. See him as he looks at Peter, but just a few hours before, cursed, denied the faith, denied the Savior, and denied the church. As Jesus sees Peter's scarcely healed wound and says, feed my sheep. 50 days after Peter cursed and swore, he was standing in the back end of a Ford pickup truck, a Chevrolet pickup truck, on the corner of Ellen Hacker Street in Jerusalem, preaching the gospel, and 3,000 people got saved.
Why, you wouldn't have used Peter for 50 years. Why, I heard him curse just not long ago. 50 days ago, he was denying he was a Christian. 50 days ago, he denied the church. 50 days ago, he denied the faith. Now, there he is preaching. Yes, I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, our God is a God who will use you again. If we're going to be like the resurrected Savior, that means forgiveness. That means restoration. That means you Pharisees, get rid of your phylacteries. Get rid of your pharisaical garments and give folks a second chance. Let me tell you, it was just three days after Jonah had left the will of God that God used Jonah to preach a great revival. It's time that God's people realize that the casualty of Christian people is so bad, we won't even use it again. But thank God, the resurrected Christ said, Peter, I'll use you again. Go down to Jerusalem, stand up and preach, and I'll get 3,000 people saved. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the resurrected Christ. I want to make it known tonight. I don't care who you are, how deep you've gone, how far you've gone away from the will of God. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not. You young people at Hammond Baptist High School, I've got news for you. I don't care how much trouble you get in. I'm not giving up on you. You Hiles Anderson College students in trouble, I'm not giving up on you. You folks who are away from God, I'm not giving up on you. Why? Because the resurrected Savior didn't give up on Peter. See him, if you would please, as he looks at the disciples, disciple that he loved, whose head had made a pillow of his breast, who had fled the Garden of Gethsemane and hidden himself. This is the one whom Jesus loved. This is the disciple who leaned on his breast. This is the beloved John. John, at the darkest hour of Jesus' life, John forsook him and fled. Let me say this. You let my bitterest enemy walk down this aisle tonight and say he wants to even God to use him again, and I'll put my arms around his shoulders and kiss him on the cheek and say, welcome home. God can use you again. One of my favorite stories. I have in the drawer of my desk a list of ex-deacons who've gone into sin out of the will of God. I pray for those ex-deacons every day when I come to church for God to bring them back. We had a man in our church who was a deacon. He and his wife got too close to another couple. You listen carefully to me. Don't you pair off two couples together. So I said, don't you pair off two couples together. In the first place, you just spend most of your time with your own wife and having fun with her. And you spend most of your time with your own husband having fun with her. I said before, my golf game is sitting on the front row of the choir, this pretty blonde here. My bowling league is this little guy right here on the front row of the choir. Now, you just get close to your gal, and don't you pair off with somebody. Well, these two couples paired off. My deacon, they moved out of the area. But my deacon, several months or years after he left here, he thought he was in love with the other fellow's wife. And the other fellow thought he was in love with my deacon's wife. They traded. They swapped wives. Now, I saw them both. I thought one of them deserved two first-round draft choices and a player of the name later. But they traded them. I mean, swapped them. I mean, like, I'll trade my wife for yours. Mrs. Moffitt's been trying to trade her husband for years. Can't find any takers. But 11 years I prayed for that man. But by the way, they divorced and married the other guy's spouse. For 11 years, in the drawer, my desk, I prayed for that man every day. About 11 o'clock one night, I'd counseled heavily. I was walking out the door, having a coat draped across my shoulder. And in walked that deacon. 11 years since I'd seen him. He came down the hallway and he said, "Brother House, could I see you?" I said, "You better know you can." He walked in my office and said, "Preacher, I wrecked my life. Could God ever use me again?" I said, "God could never use you to be a deacon again. God wouldn't use you to pastor." But the answer, if God can ever use you again, is a great big Y-E-S. God can use you again. Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in pain, that by the skill of thy dear hands, some beauty may remain. Did you hear those words? Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hands, some beauty. I don't care how deep you've gone to sin, God can still use you. There's something you can do for God. Come back home. I said, come back home. Come back home. You've wandered far away from God. Now, come back home. The paths of sin, too long you've trod. Come back home, Allen Baptist High School student. Come back home, Hal Henderson College derelict. Come back home, backslidden member. Come back home. The Father is still a fatted calf. He's got a pair of shoes for you and a new ring for your finger and a chassis that folds upon your back. And he said, call the neighbors. My son was lost, but he's found. Come on home. There's something God can use you for. He said, what can I do? I said, let's start off driving a bus. Next Sunday morning, somebody called me out the front. And there was that ex-deacon. No swap wise. Well, I know some of you Pharisees, you wouldn't touch me with a 10-foot pole. But you're not like the resurrected Christ. The resurrected Christ, 50 days after Peter cursed and swore, used him to preach again. Resurrected Christ forgave John the beloved for forsaking him. And said to the apostles, peace be unto you. And less than 2 months, ladies and gentlemen, less than 2 months after the apostles had forsaken Jesus and fled, they turned the world upside down for God. We're out there on the front, and there he sat behind the steering wheel of one of our buses. He had gone down and bought himself a chauffeur's outfit. He had a chauffeur's uniform on. He had a cap with a bill on it, a chauffeur's cap. And there he sat like a king on his throne, a smile across his face. God was using him again. The resurrected Christ was that way. If I'm to be like him, I am to salvage all I can out of all those who drift away from God. See him. As he fixes his eyes on Thomas, who forsook him, then doubted him, and says to Thomas patiently, reach hither my finger. Behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. This was Thomas. He just died for Thomas, and Thomas said, I don't believe that's him, and I won't believe it, but I reached my hands in and touched the scar, and I won't believe it. And yet Jesus said, come on, Thomas, reach in. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care who you are, how deep you've gone, God wants to use you, and God will use you again, the resurrected Christ. Yes. What most of us are. We don't have many Rolls Royces here. We've got some rebuilt Fords. We've got some rebuilt wrecks. But I've got news for you. Our God is a rebuilding God. He rebuked the prophet in Ezekiel. He said, the fallen you have not lifted, and the broken you have not healed. And he said, and those that have been driven away, you have not brought back. I want to say tonight, I got to tell you this story, and some of you will know who this is. I do not know a sweeter story than this. Brother, now I'm going to tell you. Hope you won't be upset with me. One of my favorite persons is Paul Jorgensen. Paul, that's his name, wasn't it? Paul Jorgensen. Don Boyd sat in my office one Saturday morning, and he said, the worst boy we have in our senior class is Paul Jorgensen. I made an appointment to see Paul.
He was so critical, I asked him to leave my office, but never gave up on him. The Jerry McCauley Mission in New York City has a sign for years, we never give up on anybody. I met with him. I met again. I saw a little flicker of light, a little flicker of hope. Finally, Paul and I became good friends. And finally, Paul and I had regular appointments. And then Paul decided to go to Hiles Anderson College and told this story to our high school students at chapel one day. Now Paul is an assistant pastor down south, principal of a school. I love him like I love my own flesh and blood, one of the dearest, closest friends, young men I have on the face of this earth. Let me tell you, don't you give up on your husband, and don't you give up on your child, and don't you give up on your son, and don't you give up on your daughter. There's a man sitting within 15 feet of where I stand right now, grew up in this church, went out into sin, ended up behind bars in jail. You and I went to see him one day, but God is using him again. I said, God is using him again. Resurrection Christ said, I have nobody else to spread the gospel. I've got to choose those that forsook me. I've got to choose him that cursed me. I've got to choose him that denied me. I've got to choose him that denied the church. I've got to choose him that denied the faith. I have nobody else.
If you want to be like him, don't give up on anybody. Look at his resurrected majesty and manner and behavior and gentleness and his love. And you may have that spirit. That same spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. You look at me. He lives right in here right now. And that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in my mortal body. And God says, not only are we to emulate the Christ of Gethsemane, the Christ of the Jordan River, the Christ of the Judean Hills, the Christ of the Galilean Mountains, the Christ of Nazareth, the Christ of Capernaum, the Christ of Jerusalem, the Christ of Bethany, the Christ of the Mount of Olives, the Christ of Gethsemane. But we are to have as our ultimate goal to live like the risen Christ. And the difference in the risen Christ and us is this. God says, I want you to love those that hate you. That's what he did. I want you to use those that drifted away. That's what he did. A cursing disciple. Here's a guy leaned on his breast, and I forsake him and flees. Here are those that sat around the table with him just a few hours before, and now they forsake him and they flee. So come up higher above your hatred and your strife. Come up higher above your bitterness and your guile. Come up higher above your selfishness and your wrath. It's time you started getting along with people. As I said this morning, it's time some of you fellows decide to be Christians at home and get along with your wife. You listen to me carefully. You know what she did? She carried your children in her breast for 9 months. She suffered like few people ever suffer. She went to the jaws of death and travailed in birth to give those kids life. And you want to thank God for her and love her and get along with her and quit being a hellcat and decide you're going to live like the risen Savior did. With love and compassion and kindness and gentleness to that wife. That isn't all. It's time some of you wives start to get along with your husbands. I've declared war on something other than rock music. I've declared war on something other than Hollywood movies. I've declared war on the ugly dispositions of people sitting in this room tonight. What a shame. You dormitory students can't get along with each other in your dormitory rooms. You athletes can't get along with each other on the ball field. Some of you guys in our summer league acted like heathen. Nothing for a little ball game. Some of you athletes on the basketball court act like heathen. Some of you moms and dads at the little league games acted like heathen people act. Come up. Come your quarreling at home. Come up higher
above your divisions at church. Come up higher above your arguments at school. Come up higher above your rudeness of manner. Come up higher above your unkindness and scorn. Come up higher above your temper that is hot. God gives, hear this statement, God gives you the privilege of coming higher and then stretches out his hand to lift you up. You can be at peace with others. You can love your enemies. You can have a peaceful marriage. You can conquer that temper. You can render good for evil. You can eliminate that grudge. You can be a lady and a gentleman. You can be kind at home. You can restore those who've denied you. You can bless those who've done you wrong. You can give peace to those who've forsaken you. Why? They placed his body in Joseph's tomb. The government dispatched guards to walk around this tomb because he had said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days. He had said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, even so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. He had predicted his coming resurrection. And so these guards walk around the tomb. But it takes more than a bunch of soldiers to keep the living Christ in the tomb. And they came that morning. The stone was rolled away. The Holy Spirit came down and took that lovely body of our Savior and by His mighty power raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Up from the grave He rose. And that same mighty power that reached down and took that dead body of Jesus had been dead 3 days and three nights. That same mighty power, the Holy Ghost of Almighty God, lives inside you. And you can behave yourself. And you can rise from your life of sin. What a wonderful gospel. What a wonderful truth. I've tried for years to be like him. I want to love you like he would love you if he were behind this pulpit. I want to forgive you or forgive others who wronged me like he would forgive if he walked in my shoes. I want to have the same grace that he had. And though I have failed, I've worked at it. And now I come to say there's a higher graduate course in being like Christ. Not just the Christ of Gethsemane or the Christ of Mount Olivet, but the Christ of the empty tomb. Before those days walked the streets of Jerusalem, the road to Emmaus, and in his resurrection body, forgave those that are crucified. Let me ask you a question. Never dawned on you who these 3,000 people were got saved on Pentecost? Huh? Never dawned on who they were? Same crowd that hollered, crucify him 50 days ago. Boy, if I'd been God, I'd have sent an earthquake. If I'd have been God, I'd have sent a heat wave, or I'd have sent lightning or storm. I'd have killed a whole bunch of them. But that's not my God. 50 days after, I have an idea I can see. And I want to have a little fun right now. I can see him listening to Peter preach. And Peter even said, you have taken him and crucified him. I can see one fellow out there. He said, yeah, I chopped the tree which was made the cross. I gave it to him. You reckon you'd use me as a pulpit captain? Are the Cubs going to come in last place next year? Are the Bulls going to win another game? Are the Bears going to join the little football league? You better know it, fella. And I can see that guy whose hands were still callous and chopping down that tree, walking down the aisle and getting saved. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. And up in heaven, there was joy in the presence of the angels. Didn't say the angels had joy in the presence. Jesus was having a conniption fit backwards. That's the guy that chopped down the tree. Another guy sitting over here while Peter was preaching. He said, I made the cross. And the guy nailed it together. I wonder if he'd want me. Yeah, he'd want you. Another fellow said, I gave him the nails. I own a carpenter shop, and I gave him the nails that they drove in his hands and feet. Can you see that invitation on Pentecost? I was one of the ones that said, crucify him, crucify him. Let Barabbas go. Crucify Jesus. A resurrected Christ is a saving Christ, a loving Christ, a forgiving Christ, a restoring Christ. And the greatest evidence of your Christianity is love. Hear me carefully, and I'll be finished. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you don't go to Hollywood movies. No. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, you don't listen to rock music. That's not what it says. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, you don't watch movies on television. That's what it says. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you, tell me the next word. Tell me the next word. Love one another. Wait, hold it now. Loving God is basic. He's perfect. That's grade school. Loving your fallen neighbor, that's high school. Loving your enemies is graduate work. And using them again is graduate work. I ask you a question tonight. How do you feel towards your enemies? Hey, that's all Jesus had. I mean, all he had, the only people didn't forsake him were a few members of the WMS. That's all. He couldn't use them to be a preacher because Jesus was not a charismatic. All he had, a man who 50 days ago crucified him, forsook him, cursed and swore and denied him the faith in the church. Ask your question, how do you feel toward those that have wronged you? How do you feel toward your enemies? How do you feel toward those that have forsaken you? I'll tell you what, if you'll ask me to forgive him, I'll do it. Well, bully for you. You're supposed to forgive him 10,000. Listen, that prodigal son's father forgave that boy before he ever got in the hog pen, much less out of the hog pen. And you're supposed to love those that hate you, bless those that curse you, and restore those who have fallen. That's the resurrected Christ. And so tonight, I point you to love as he loved while he walked the shores of Galilee. Live as he lived when he was baptized in Jordan. Live as he lived as he was in Gethsemane praying. Live as he lived as he opened blind eyes and deaf ears and caused the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear, the lame to leap like a hart, and the blind to see, and the dead to live, and the sick to rise. Live like that. But there's a graduate course. Live like the resurrected Christ, who forgave his enemies, who forgave the one that drove the nails in his hands and feet, forgave the one that fell the tree and the one that built the cross, forgave the one that judged him falsely and the ones that testified wrongly against him. He forgave them. And I'm through. That little motley crowd of rebels and forsakers, in the next few days, they filled Jerusalem with the gospel of Christ. So tonight, if you drifted away from God, come on home, water's fine. Come on back, God will use you. The resurrected Christ will, and by the way, so will this preacher. Our Heavenly Father, I've not done justice to what I wanted to say tonight because of the rest of us. But my heart is warm. I have a desire to help. I have a desire to help that one who says, I've wandered far away from God. May he continue to say, now I'm coming home. The one who would say, the paths of sin too oft or long I've trod, may you say, now I'm coming home. I pray for those of us, Christian people, who have been mistreated, slandered, criticized, gossiped about, hated, wronged, scandalized. May we have the spirit of the resurrected Christ to say, I'll use you again. I love you. Peace be unto you. Reach hither your hands and touch it in my side. I'll use you again. Do something tonight to that one who's wandered away, and do something to that one who's been a little reluctant to use again those who have. And to love his enemies, be good to those that do evil to him. Amen. Shall we stand in the choir?